जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा गोपी जन वाला गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन जय गोपी जन वाला गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वाला यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यमुना तीरवन चारियन यमुना तीरवन चारी जयो राध माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय गोपी जान वाला गिरिवर धारी जय यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यमुना तीरवन चारियन जयो राध माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा गोपी जान वाला गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जान यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंदन यमुना तीरवन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जय जयो राधा
वासुदेवाया
ओम नमो भगव भगवते वासुदेवाय Good morning, everybody. So we continue to read the second canto, which called Cosmic Manifestation, chapter 8, and verses 19 and 20. I guess I'm going to read 19 myself, and we're going to chant together number 20 because it has purport. Tattvanam parisankhyanam lakshanam hetu lakshanam purushardhana vidhana vidhir yogasya dhyatmikasya cha. Translation. Kindly explain all about the elementary principles of creation. The number of such elementary principles, their causes and their development, and also the process of devotional service and the method of mystic powers. Text 20, please repeat. Yogeshwaraishwarya gatir. Yogeshwaraishwarya gatir. Linga bhangas tu yoginam. Linga bhangas tu yoginam. Vidopaveda dharmanam. Vidopaveda dharmanam. Itihasa puranayo. Itihasa Puranayo Yogeshwaraishwarya Gatir Linga Bhangastu Yoginam Vidopaveda Dharmanam Itihasa Puranayo Yogeshwaraishwarya gatir Linga bhangastu yoginam Vidopaveda dharmanam Itihasa puranayo
here.
meanings, Yoga Ishvara, of the Master of the Mystic Powers, Aishwarya, opulence, Gatihi, advancement, Linga, astral body, Bhangaha, detachment, to but Yoginam, of the mystics, Veda, transcendental knowledge, Upaveda, knowledge in pursuance of the Veda indirectly, Dharmanam, of the religiosities, Itihasa, history, Puranayo, of the Puranas. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. What are the opulences of the great mystics and what is their ultimate realization? How does the perfect mystic become detached from the subtle astral body? What is the basic knowledge of the Vedic literatures, including the branches of the history and the supplementary Puranas? Purport. The Yogeshwara, or the master of the mystic powers, can exhibit eight kinds of wonders of perfection by becoming smaller than this atom or lighter than a feather, getting anything and everything he desires, going anywhere and everywhere he likes, creating even a planet in the sky, etc. There are many Yogeshwaras having different potencies in these wonderful powers, and the topmost of all of them is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest yogi, and he can perform such wonderful things far beyond the ordinary living beings. The devotees of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, do not directly practice the process of mystic powers, but by the grace of the Lord, his devotee can defeat even a great Yogeshwara like Durvasa Muni, who picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarisha and wanted to show the wonderful achievements of his mystic powers. Maharaj Ambarish was a pure devotee of the Lord, and thus, without any effort on his part, the Lord saved him from the wrath of Yogeshwara Durvasa Muni. And the latter was obliged to beg pardon from the king. Similarly, at the time of Draupadi's precarious position, when she was attacked by the Kurus, who wanted to see her naked in the open assembly of the royal order, the Lord saved her from being stripped by supplying an unlimited length of sari to cover her. And Draupadi knew nothing of mystic powers. Therefore, the devotee are also Yogeshwaras by the unlimited power of the Lord. Just as a child is powerful by the strength of the parents, they do not try to protect themselves by any artificial means, but are saved by the mercy of the parents. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from the learned Brahmana Shukadeva Goswami about the ultimate destination of such great mystics, or how they attain such extraordinary powers by their own efforts or by the grace of the Lord. He inquired also about their detachment from the subtle and gross material bodies. He inquired also about the purpose of the Vedic knowledge. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the whole purport of all the Vedas is to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become a transcendental loving servant of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanina Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Ipasindu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Ajana Lambita Bujo Kamakavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Thakcho Vishvambaro Dijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Good morning, dear devotees. Please bless me to speak something meaningful, thoughtful, and inspiring. You all senior devotees to me, and if you give me some blessings, I could say something. Please give me your mercy. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, as soon as I read this purport in the beginning, in the beginning of the purport, it says about, let's see, about Yogeshwara. And I remember when I talked to Shankar Prabhu. Shankar Prabhu, who remembers how long ago he departed? Like 2 years? No, 1 year ago, yeah? Not even a year? Less than a year. Yeah, and we'd taken prasadam together. And Shankar Prabhu said, you know, everybody worship Krishna, but I worship Yogeshwara. I love Yogeshwara because I'm amazed about his mystic powers because of his making miracles, whatever I see around. I can see only miracles. Then I worship that Krishna who is Yogeshwara, and I remember this for the rest of my life, I guess. His explanation. He said, "No, I am not worshiping Krishna. I worship Yogeshwara." So probably right now he's with Yogeshwara together. Okay, so in this purport, mostly. Saying about the eight mystic powers. And in a room conversation from Srila Prabhupada talking with his disciples, Gopal Krishna and Hari Shauri Prabhu, in a room conversation in Bombay in December 27, 1976. Gopal Krishna, at that time, Gopal Krishna Adhikari, now he's Maharaj, was saying that, you know, there is so much tendency of the Western people, they want to practice yoga, to know about the yoga. And Gopal Krishna told to Srila Prabhupada, so we are trying to arrange some facility here because the Western people like to come to India and practice some yoga practices. I mean, maybe mystic, maybe just exercises, maybe something. And Srila Prabhupada liked that idea. And, you know, I heard that room conversation, and funny, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, we should arrange that. We should arrange, and you know how? So we're going to arrange seven, first of all, we're going to read Bhagavad Gita chapter 6. And he asked Gopal Krishna, how many verses in that chapter? 47. Okay, so 47. 47 verses. So it's about, so we're going to arrange like this, we're going to made this facility in seven rooms. We're going to build a house. We're going to put seven rooms. put them seven devotees there in seven rooms, and each devotee will teach the Westerners who comes. Well, Westerners or even Indians, but Westerners, they like more practices. We're going to arrange to, so this 3-hour program, the one group coming to one room, one devotee teach seven first verses of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. First six verses. And then they go to another room, another seven verses. So, I mean, not in the same day, but first day, the program is Gopal Krishna and Hari Shauri suggested. You can, we can arrange in such a way 3 hours. For example, half an hour, they're gonna chant japa with us. Then 2 hours listening of the explanation of this professional, our trained devotees. And another half an hour kirtan at the end. And they said, well, brilliant idea. But Srila Prabhupada said, the most important thing, they have to, you're going to arrange the kusha grass, kusha grass, which is facing to the north. Put deer skin. I was laughing when I heard that. You put arrange deer skin to put the cotton cloth. Everything is explained in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6. Yeah, it's authorized explanation. And Chopra, no, without deer skin, no. You should arrange deer skin for sure, and they should sit with the straight back and listen for well, actually first of all Srila Prabhupada said just listen 2 hours listening explanation of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita Dhyana Yoga and they have to listen it only after that Hari Shauri suggests maybe some kirtan, maybe some japa. Well, yeah, that's also good, but first of all they have to listen. So these groups coming in one room, you have to arrange, if they tourists, they come in for 1 week, so 7 days, around 7 verses a day, they're gonna listen, and that's how you teach the yoga. So this is how Srila Prabhupada's vision, how in Kali Yuga, people of West should practice yoga. Just listen, explanation. Other things is not really good for them. Krishna explained himself in 11th canto and in 15th chapter, where he explained how person can achieve all these mystic powers. The eight mystic, the main mystic powers and 10 secondary mystic powers. He explained everything. But at the end, he explained, this is all nonsense, it's all obstacles for the devotee. It's nothing, you don't need them. Because as Srila Prabhupada explained here in purport, when the jiva soul, they practice bhakti yoga, Krishna protects them and gives them all the perfection that they need, right? Like here explained, Durvasa Muni, others, Kauravas, all other, we have many examples in Bhagavatam about this. So in a real yogi or bhakti yogi, he have to give it up as a byproduct of bhakti yoga, even though they might come. They might come to him, but he shouldn't exhibit it. Once I remember, Srila Prabhupada was asked, "What do you do? Well, if you are a great yogi, there was a class about this mystic perfection. One of them asked, "Well, if you are a mystic yogi, why are you flying on a jets? Why are you not just flying there just by?" Srila Prabhupada said, "No, but I'm using it like." And he explained Yukta Vairagya principles. Another, I remember, think when the Srila Prabhupada came to Kumbh Mela in India, and there is, you know, Kumbh Mela, it's the main Kumbh Mela once in 12 years, I guess. And there are a lot of mystics and yogis comes to that places in India. What's the place in India? Rishikesh?
Yeah.
Prayag, Rishikesh, yeah? They're near? I wasn't there. Okay, so and there's a lot of yogis and mystics there. And one of the great, some of the mystics, he said, "Oh, so why did you come? What can you do? I mean, what kind of mystic power you have?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Look around. All these Westerners, I make them devotees. Isn't that a great city to turn them into devotees?" And one of the Kumbh Mela, well, Srila Prabhupada only once came to the biggest Kumbh Mela, right? Or more than once, who remembers? And at the end, one of the authority in that mystics and yogis, he heard the kirtan of the devotees there. And when he heard that, he was like 700 years old or something, one of the best yogis, mystics. And when he heard the kirtan of the devotees, he said, "Well, that's amazing." And he even had a tears when he heard that. And after that, he came to Srila Prabhupada and paid obeisances to him. So that's what I heard. So this is great mystic powers of Srila Prabhupada. So devotees should accept everything favorable, and and reject everything unfavorable. We have in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter, and verse 100, where Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami the principles of Bhakti Yoga. He explained the main principles of Sharanagati. That verse goes like this: Anukulesya sankalpa pratikulesya varjanam rakshishititi vishvaso gopritve varanam tatha atmani kshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagatim. This is the main principles of Bhakti Yoga. And at the end of this purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada explained also how mainly he focused on that protection. Krishna protect rakshishititi vishvaso. So Krishna protects his devotees, and he also mentioned about the 15th chapter, 15th verse from Bhagavad Gita also. He make a reference to that verse. But I'm sure you all know what that means, but I'm just repeat the six principles. Number one, anukulisa sankalpa. The devotee has to accept everything that is favorable for rendering of transcendental love and service of the Lord. Number two, he must reject everything unfavorable to the Lord's service. This is also called renunciation. Number three, devotee must be firmly convinced that Krishna will give him protection. No one else can actually give one protection, and being firmly convinced of this is called faith. This kind of faith is different from the faith of an impersonalist who wants to merge into Brahman effulgence in order to benefit by cessation of repeated birth and death. Number four, the devotee should accept Krishna as his supreme maintainer and master. He should not think that he is being protected by a demigod. He should depend only on Krishna, considering him the only protector. The devotee must be firmly convinced that within the three worlds, he has no protector or maintainer other than Krishna. Number five, self-surrender means remembering that one's activities and desires are not independent. The devotee is completely dependent on Krishna, and he acts and thinks as Krishna desires. That's very interesting too. Number six, a devotee is meek and humble. So Srila Prabhupada explained everything about the protection. He also explained about how Krishna protected Gajendra, the elephant, when he asked to protection. But one might think how he can protect, because the devotee is also dying sooner or later. But Krishna actually protects the soul from forgetfulness of Krishna. This is the main thing. And Lord Chaitanya came to teach us how to practice that. He was praying Trinada Pisa Nichina Tarora Pisa Hishnuna Manina Manadina Kirtanya Sada Hari. So Lord Chaitanya, he also prayed in fourth shloka. Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishwari Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye. This is also byproducts, and Lord Chaitanya, I mean these mystic powers, and Lord Chaitanya teaches, we don't need anything, we just have to practice bhakti yoga, and that will be enough, especially for the people of Kali Yuga, you know, in order to achieve some mystic powers, you know how much trouble you have to go through? Like, it's not even for this age, you know, you cannot even try to do that. You're not going to achieve that. And the more simple thing is to be a devotee. It's a more simple and more sublime method. You remember from the Shastras how Ravana achieved his perfection, and Hiranyakashipu, how much penance and austerity they performed. And they just receive temporary benefits out of that. But when a devotee practicing bhakti yoga, even demigods amazement look at the devotees, how they can surrender to the Lord. And in such a short period of life, they can achieve so much. Because the pure devotee's position higher than all other demigods in this world. And of course, well, our demigod, the main demigod, Brahma, he's also a devotee. So it's both, he's a devotee and a demigod. For the Lord to have these mystic powers, it's actually inspiration for the devotee. For the devotee, when he sees Lord, like I explained about Shankar Prabhu, he was so much inspired by mystic powers of the Lord, and he inspired to serve the Lord even more and better. But when we see these mystic powers who exhibit regular jiva, we are not really, well, we're amazed for a while, but maybe clap to him, okay, you can do many great things, but after that, what you can do with these mystic powers? The example is Durvasa Muni. He was practicing, he was a great mystic yogi, yeah? And what he did with these mystic powers? He boasted, he became offenders of the pure devotee. That's why Krishna explained this is stumbling blocks. This is stumbling blocks on a path of spiritual advancement. Because when you have it, this mystic powers, it's very hard to become a meek and humble. It's very hard. You can have everything. You can control others' mind. You can create a planet, another planet. You can. You can do all kind of things, and Krishna gives these jivas the opportunity to feel like God, you know. Try to be God, okay, create planet, do this, amazing things, and surprise others. It's like in circus, you just, there is a lot of circus. You understand what the circus means? All other people, I remember when I was young, and I was looking, Oh, well, they're creating such a mystic power, so it looks like, yeah, in circus. They jump and or they play with the tigers, with all kinds of wild animals and all kinds of different, you're just amazed. So this Krishna gives the opportunity to the jiva to feel like God. Well, let's do it. But this is not good for him, for this jiva, as Krishna explained in 11th canto. And more than that, this mystic powers doesn't give happiness to the soul, not really full happiness. The real happiness brings only the relationship with the Supreme Lord. And all these mystic powers that look at me, I have a lot of mystic powers. Then after that, if they don't appreciate you, you just go into depression. Oh, nobody appreciate me. I have such a mystic powers, but nobody appreciate me. So real happiness, actually, with Supreme Lord, a relationship, loving relationship, as Srila Prabhupada explained at the end of the purport, the whole purport of the Vedas is to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become a transcendental loving servant of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada concludes his purport with this. This real happiness you can achieve. I remember this one devotee was on a confessional meeting. You know, all kind of different religious leaders gather together, and they discussing about the God. So one devotee went to this gathering, and he was asked to speak about, because you know everybody was speaking about his religion that he's practicing. Muslim, Christian, all kind of Christian, all kind of Muslim, all kind of Judaism, and all kind of, and Hare Krishna's invited too. And you know, he said, everybody was explaining how their religion is best. I mean, go to our religion because our religion is the best, and we are practicing the best, the best religion. Please come to us, join us, and no faults in our religion. And this devotee was thinking, well, I'm going to speak very soon, and I don't know what to say. Shall I speak the same thing? Go to our religion and practice Hare Krishna. All other religions is not perfect. Go to our religion. He said, no, it's not good idea to do that. Push other. Please join us. And when he said, I have no idea what to speak, but when I already started to step on the stage to speak, the idea came to my mind from Srimad Bhagavatam. And he remembered the verse, Krishna gave him the memory, remember the verse, I don't know the Sanskrit, but maybe you remember that he said, which religion is the best? Srimad Bhagavatam explained, which religion is the best? The best religion is that who gives happiness to the soul. That is the best religion. And before that, they think, oh, again, another Hare Krishna, they will be saying, go join Hare Krishna. But he said, no, the best religion, those who give the happiness to the soul, that is the best religion. And if you practice that religion, which is give benefit to the soul and to the other living entities, this is the best religion. And everybody clapping, oh, it's not, and we didn't expect, we thought you're just going to try to push us to join Hare Krishna. But they said, no, the best religion is to give happiness and give benefit to other living entities. That's the best religion. So Krishna gave him that intelligence, and everybody was really appreciating the Hare Krishna movement. So Yeah, another story about the. It's also a real story. I think it was like a few hundred years ago. There was one king who was who liked all kind of yogis, and he liked to give them the presents to the yogis, and he was very much excited to talk to these yogis. And once one yogi, he heard of this king, and he came to the king and said, well, you know, I know how to go to samadhi, and I can show how to go to samadhi, and I can like be in a samadhi like for 6 months. And the king inspired, oh, okay. And you know what samadhi means? It means you not eat, you not sleep, you not even breathe in samadhi. You just go totally in samadhi. You know, your life air is just diminishing to very minimum. And well, the king said, okay, if you do that, I can give you 10 beautiful horses, the best horses. Well, because he likes to give the presents to this all kind of yogis. And he said, okay. In order to make this pure experiment, he just locked him up in a room and he looking in a window for him, how he gonna do the practice yoga and go to samadhi. Because he was like inspiring, he also trying to practice that yoga practicing. So meanwhile, the time goes by and the neighbor king, he attacked that kingdom and moved out that king out of this territory. And so this king, he just fled. And another king, he didn't know about that yogi who's locked up in the room and meditating. But when he heard, who is that? Some yogi meditating there? Let's see what he's doing. So, but the time passed by, so 6 months passed by, and because in his mind, in his head, there was ticking. He remembers, actually. In samadhi, he understands everything what goes around him. His body doesn't function. But after 6 months, he just woke up and started breathing. You know that the yogis, they just they go into samadhi and come out of samadhi with the bastrika method, like they breathe quickly, and they go to samadhi. And after that, when they come out of samadhi, they also start they breathe more, and that's vital air comes again to the work. So he woke up after 6 months, look around, and he didn't see that king around. And all of a sudden, he said, where is my 10 horses? That means that he was thinking all these 6 months about these horses. six months, where did he get this horse? This is a real story, it's not a made story. And this shows that the Kali Yuga methods of yoga, you think about some material profit. But the best thing, and actually, yeah, everybody can become a yogi. It's if after hard work you can do that, of course. But so hard, it's even harder to explain in a devotee's heart. The more hard thing is to become meek and humble. And meek, not just meek and humble, but forgive. Forgive and give, have a compassion. Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam. So this is a more hard to forgive somebody than just to humiliate someone and just to offend someone. It's very easy to do that, right? But it's so hard to forgive someone. That it's not going to happen to Durvasa, right? Right away. He just pushed to do that, to forgive. Pushed. He wasn't trained to do that. And in this commentary, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explained that the devotee is higher than these mystics because he didn't he wasn't offended by the Durvasa. He wasn't offended. He didn't feel like when, even when the Durvasa Muni asked forgiveness after that, Maharaj Shambhavi said, no, you didn't offend me. Everything is okay. Why are you you asking? No, everything is okay. Don't worry. devotee, and also another mystic powers of the devotee is compassion. That's the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. He came to the West and he felt compassion to these Westerners, and he gave them that opportunity to become a devotee. So Krishna, he also teaches in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, this Dhyana Yoga at the end. What he's saying at the end, at the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvisham madgatinantar atmana shadhavan bhajate yumam same yuktata momataha. So which one is the best of the yogis? Who is that? Who think of me, Krishna said. If you think of me, you're best of the yogis. You're best of the yogis. It's not simple thing, but it's very simple at the same time. If you think of Krishna, you are the best of the yogis. So method Krishna explained, and what he's saying after that, the next verse 7.1, what how to think of it? Just listen. Tat Srinu 7.1 verse. Tat Srinu. Just listen. It's simple. If you listen about Krishna, everything comes to you. All the purification comes to you if you just listen of him. You know, you don't need to practice all these mystic powers. I mean, to achieve mystic powers, practice yoga, put your kundalini up, kundalini chakra. it's difficult. But if you just hear Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavad Gita, that will be enough. Of course, we have a lot of stumbling blocks, impediments. We have 10 offenses of the Lord. We're trying to avoid these offenses, and that's not so hard. I mean, if you're serious in your spiritual practice, it's not so hard. But this is a method given to us by Srila Prabhupada and by Lord Chaitanya. Okay, that's that I wanted to say. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience and hearing about my thick Russian accent. Thank you. Maybe anybody has a comment or question? Yes, please. Pranam?
I remember in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami Pad gives this, because there is a different gradation of mystic yoga. First is 8 types, the most important principle. Anima, Lagima, smaller than smallest, bigger than biggest, all this. So those things are eternally exist in Krishna. And he gave an example in Vrindavan how he exhibited Krishna, all 8 mystic siddhi all the time. And perfection of the mystic siddhi, he says, for outsider, when they come to Vrindavan, like Trinabharta, he had the power to become the whirlwind or even Putana, like a giant body and all this. But with Krishna, it culminates. So my question is also, because Prabhupada put a one logic, another lecture I was listening. Prabhupada says, soul is not a controller, but is a choice maker. We are not controller, the Krishna control. But we have a free choice always to make which one. But because Krishna is a supreme controller, we are part of him, so this little controlling mood is always there. It's not something we can get rid of it completely.
Slow.
Yeah, little. So I'm thinking like Krishna has all these 8 mystic siddhi. So to acquire little bit, devotee don't want because Krishna has, they depend on Krishna. But it will be always there. It's not possible completely become zero.
And that's your purpose. Thought.
Because you have a very nice class.
Thank you. Yeah, Trivikram Prabhu. Trivikram? Trivikram? Shesha Prabhu, okay. Please, I didn't see it. Please. Sorry.
You were explaining how Krishna will protect his devotee, but does the devotee have to pray specifically for what to be protected from, or is it just surrender to Krishna and Krishna takes care of it?
Sorry, I didn't get it. Say again.
When we seek Krishna's protection, do we have to say specifically what we want protection from, or do we just surrender
What protection
to Krishna?
From? Specifically protection from which, yeah?
Do we have to say to
protect?
Protect me from my disease or sensitive?
That's your question?
Yes. Ah.
Well, since Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami these principles of Sharanagati, this is one of the principles to ask for protection and depend on Krishna. And in my understanding, what the protection means, the main protection is forgetfulness of Krishna. This is the main protection. When Prahlad Maharaj was asking benediction from the Lord, from Narasimha, he said, please don't, I'm afraid to forget. I don't afraid anything, I just forget about you and be... let me be in association with the devotees. That's my fear. I don't know, maybe somebody can... Maybe I didn't understand properly the question.
That answers.
That answers? Yeah. Thank you.
They ask, what's... Is the astral body the subtle body? And you're going to answer that. And Srila Prabhupada wrote that devotee is also achieve perfection and also get the mystic cities, but they didn't use them wrongfully.
That's what I think.
You know, like Hanuman, Prahlad Maharaj, so many devotees
are mystic.
Real mystic powers.
Yeah,
you know? But
for sure
they never really exhibit them and.
They just didn't use them. Yeah, they don't need them.
But what's the astral body?
Well, it depends who's using the term astral body.
Oh. Yes, say it. What is it?
Well, I mean, astral body is like this term they're using, New Age.
Astral is a subtle body, yeah?
Yeah, it's a subtle body. It's just in a different language.
And it's explained when we chant the mantra, the subtle body come out a little bit. So it helps to detach. So if we hear holy names, it's asks. Even though it's so hard.
The subtle body is an expansion of our desires to have this separate identity and all this stuff. So ultimately, if you purify the heart, these things will melt away, in a sense.
It's also said in Gita, Nigirnam analo nyatha, something. It's subtle body dissolves, subtle body, just dissolves when we practice. That's what happened to subtle body.
Yeah,
like a sugar.
Break down.
Pundarika Dinich Prabhu, you wanted to say something? Prabhu?
Oh, I had a profound something. The thought came to me, I'd probably get in trouble. If you don't know what to pray for, just pray to Krishna, for protection. Just protect me from whatever you think I need to be protected from. And let Krishna take care of it.
Yes. Prabhu, your name, I don't know your name. You wanted to say something? Sorry, I didn't look. Yeah, they're actively talking something.
Well, you're mentioning that how, bhakti yoga is an easy process, and this all this other austerities is so difficult. And I used to think that bhakti yoga is so easy. But it seems like it's very difficult because it's all about the heart.
Yeah.
And other yoga processes is all about your body or your subtle mind, I mean your subtle body. But bhakti yoga is about the heart. So it seems like it's so difficult to feel, you know, the love or what we're, the goal. Yeah, it seems like it's harder.
Yeah, I remember Prahladananda Maharaj, in the beginning of his first year, he wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter about the raga, bhava, and everything. And we know, we remember from our practice, when we practice first year, we think, well, we're almost on the bhava platform, just a little bit and we'll get prema, that's all. And the later we practice, the more harder and harder we think we're more far, far away from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, don't worry about that raga and bhava. You just practice Hare Krishna, practice chanting Hare Krishna, and that will disappear from you, from questions just disappear about raga, prema. So yeah, that's, I guess everybody's experience like that. In the beginning, it's so hard. I'm not eating meat for 6 weeks already, so I'm almost pure devotee. We think a little bit and just pure devotee. But after 30 years, oh my God, I just made a little progress and so far away from Krishna. Yeah, that's the nature of the bhakti yoga. The more you feel like heart, the more Krishna gives you mercy. Because we're all fallen souls, yeah. And what Rupa and Sanatana said, Narottam Das Thakur praying, Krishna, I'm qualified the first for your mercy because I'm most fallen. I'm qualified for your mercy. I'm not doing anything. I'm not be able to do any progress. I don't love anybody. I just a wicked person. Just, and Krishna Das Kaviraj, I'm lower than the worm in a stool. And he is a pure devotee who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, that's the nature. If you feel like that, it's better for you. And Krishna likes that.
So you told us a lie on the
yeah. Yeah, it's easy at the same time compared to all this getting mystic powers. Easy. Easier. Much easier. Yes, Prabhu, please.
Yeah, this was back to the point about control, that the minute control a living entity has. I think was your question or comment. And what came to mind was a class I heard from Sadhapuna Prabhu in San Diego many years ago. He described how we have control over one thing, but we can't control. If I want to drink water, I have to grab the glass and drink it up. The calculations, if I were to build a robot, it's hundreds of thousands of lines of code to tell the bone to move at this angle, electrical system, tilt, don't break the glass. All the calculations to drink water, we're not controlling that glass of water. We have no control over our arm to lift it. We simply desire it, and Supersoul controls the ligaments and the nerves and everything we need to do, all the calculations. So the only control we have is our desire. That's it. And then the super soul mm-hmm. controls everything else. Because our control is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, I mean, it's okay. You know, we have, that's true. But then Krishna gives us facility to so-called control. You know, like we're secondary enjoyers, or he gives us facility to control us. But it all comes from Krishna. I mean, I can control, you know, where this iPhone's going to go.
You're not controlling your heartbeat, you're not controlling your...
I know, so to the degree that we have faculties to quote-unquote control, it's given to us by Krishna. So we're not independent controllers.
Well, he gives like illusory, imaginary thing that we're controlling something.
Well, we think we're the supreme controllers. That's imaginary.
That's illusory, yeah.
That's the imaginary control thing.
you know, that somehow we're one step away from becoming, we talk about becoming a pure devotee in 6 weeks, you know, we think we're just about God in our conditional state, just that God had a little bit more together, I'd make it, you know, in a conditional state. So, you know, we have some faculties to influence, we're given that, but we don't have this power independent of Krishna. So we're not just brains in a bath, you know.
Okay, anybody else has a comment? Yes, Mataji, please.
In regard to the question about how we should pray for protection and whether we should be specific and so forth, when I was in Vrindavan back in the mid-70s, Srila Prabhupada had instructed the devotees that whatever your problem is, what you should do is come before Lord Balaram and say, "My dear sir, this is the situation. This is my problem." And then tell Balaram exactly what's going on. And of course he knows, and so you speak to him, "My dear sir, this is the situation, and Lord Balaram will take care of you."
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you all the devotees. Thank you very much. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande.